used to be. Only a man. I felt like a stranger in a far distant land. Then I heard the Savior call out my name. Into my heart God's Spirit came. Now more than man today, I'm more than a piece of clay. The treasure's inside my heart that I'll never understand. I'm more than a man today, since Jesus came in to stay. A pearl from a grain of sand, I'm more than a man. To feel so empty inside, I had no direction and no place to hide. But since I met Jesus, I know where to go. Inside my heart, the living waters flow. I'm more than a man today. I'm more than a piece of clay. A treasure's inside my heart. I'll never understand. I'm more than a man today, since Jesus came in to stay. A pearl from a grain of sand, I'm more than a man. A pearl from a grain of sand, I'm more than a man.
Jesus walks beside me when I stumble. Along those lines this morning. If you would, turn to John chapter 13, please. John chapter 13. Now I want us to go back to verse 18. We find a scene here in the upper room. And Jesus had just washed, he said. You know, he's getting ready to wash the disciples' feet in these things. But we look at this and we find that they begin to ask him questions of different things and all this, but Jesus then begins to identify his betrayer. And he says in verse 18, he said, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another and perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And then Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, is it I? And Jesus answered, Is he to whom I shall give a piece of this bread when I have dipped it? And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought that because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And having received a piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Father, we just pray now you take this word that you've given us, Lord, and touch our hearts with it today, dear Father. There may be someone here that's unsaved. God, I just pray that they'll call on you because all they need to do is ask. Lord, there may be others who are troubled. Help them today, we pray. God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. As I said, we have the scene in the upper room, and as they are preparing to eat, and John leaning on the breast of Jesus, and Jesus then begins to tell them that one of you tonight are going to betray me. And what a terrible thought perhaps that came within the minds of the people, of the men that were there, those disciples. Because how in the world can he figure after people walking with him for 3 years that someone would actually betray our Lord Jesus Christ? And so, and finally he said, is the one whose sop I dip in this sop with, that when I dip it and give it to him, it's going to be the one. And so then immediately he began to do that, and he began to gave that to Judas. And so Judas then began to leave. And so, because Jesus said, what you need to do, do quickly. So, of course, as we read there, the disciples thought, well, the only thing he told Judas was that since he has is the treasure of this group of men, that he told him to go and purchase more food for our gathering here, our supper here tonight. So that thought didn't enter in their mind that it was going to be Judas. So we look at this and we find a betrayal going on. And that word means to betray, means to deliver up. Kurt, you're right. I may step off of here if I'm not careful, huh? Who done this anyway? But guess it's a good way to keep me right here in front, isn't it? But so the betrayal means to deliver up. So Judas then is getting ready to deliver up Jesus. So let's look at two important characters here, two important men in this time of betrayal. First of all, as we hear from Judas. We know that, as the scripture said, there is one who's going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And that didn't just happen here, but we can go all the way back in the Old Testament and find that the prophecy said there will be one who will betray him. So we look at this and we find Judas Iscariot, a man with a deceitful heart. A man who was very close to Jesus in one sense, but he was only close to him by the works that he had done. You know, we look at this and find this man who became the treasurer and who held all the money in his purse and said, I'll take care of that. But a man with a deceitful heart who had seen Jesus, as the song said a moment ago, he saw the blind man healed, he had seen the dead be raised by Jesus. And he was very close to him and walking with him. But he really didn't know him as his Lord and Savior. But he was a man with a deceitful heart. As a matter of fact, he tells us so there in the book of John chapter 12. Get this, in verse 5 and 6. He said, why was this fragment? Well, let's go back to verse 1. Because you see, Jesus was there in Bethany. Before the Passover, and Lazarus had been dead, and then Jesus had raised him from the dead. So they were there eating that day with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. They were at the table with him. And then Mary took a very costly ointment and began to anoint the feet with her hair and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with that fragrance. And when you looked at all that fragrance, it was very, very expensive. Sort of like a Chanel number 5, if you will. But very, very expensive. And so then it says here, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? You say, oh, here's a man who really cared about the poor. No, this man had a deceitful heart. He didn't care anything about the poor, but get the next verse. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He was taking money from the treasury as they went along. Because here was a man that became their treasury, and certainly they probably did not have an accounting time for him. You know, what all have you spent here, Judas? It probably didn't matter to them. Only thing they knew that they had a treasury, he was taking care of it, and that was good enough. And here was a man who said he was a thief. And he had the money box and he used it to take what was put in it. He was taking of himself. He didn't care. He didn't care how expensive that was. I mean, he cared how expensive it was because he thought, why don't you sell that and give it to me so we can give it to the poor? The Bible says that Judas, this betrayer, was a thief. A man with a deceitful heart. Not only that, but go all the way back to John chapter 6, and we'll find something else about this man. In verse 70, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you? You know, a lot of the disciples at that time were turning away and going different directions. But Jesus said, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? Think about that. Here is a man who was a deceitful heart, a man that was a thief, and now Jesus is saying that he was a devil. Because you see, when you go back again in the Old Testament, you'll find that it's predicted and told. And he said, there will be one, that son of perdition, there will be one who will betray the Lord Jesus Christ into the hands of those who will kill him. Here is, said he's a devil. Now I know that perhaps in some of the minds of people that man Judas or other does not picture in your mind what the devil is. We were listening to Jack Graham this morning, and he was talking about heaven and hell and all these things and talking about the devil. And he said this, I've got news for you. The devil is not in hell today and putting coal on the fire. He said the devil is in reality here among in the world today, creating havoc and chaos and all the trouble that he can. And I tell you what, he's doing a job of it, isn't he? But Jesus called this man, Judas, a devil. A devil. A man that had a deceitful heart. A thief. Didn't care about the poor. But he's a devil. Go all the way back again, if you will, to Matthew chapter 26. And you'll find something else about him. Here was a man who was greedy. Not only did he have the access to the treasury that he was stealing and all these things from and using it for his own benefit, but he got a little bit more greedy and said, I need more. Look at this in chapter 26 and verse 14. It said, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him, speaking of Jesus, to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he saw opportunity to betray him. We'll give you 30 pieces of silver if you will just deliver him to us. Point him out to us. Get him to a place that where we can come and get him without the crowds being around. You see, they didn't want to do that while the crowds were around because they knew what they were going to be doing was going to be an unlawful thing. But yet, they knew if the crowd was around, there'd be a lot of the Jesus people, if you will, would be there causing trouble. So from that moment on, Judas, this greedy individual, this thief, this devil, began to seek a way that he can turn Jesus over to these men without the crowds around. He became so greedy. Oh, 30 pieces of silver sounds great to me. But from that point on, as he began to seek opportunity to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing about Judas is he was a man who was remorseful, but I'm not going to talk about that yet. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But keep that in your mind. A man who was remorseful. So there's Judas. Not a very good picture of anyone who actually walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. Close to him by his works only. Just by following him in a sense, but never really knowing him. And then, you know, there's Judas, a man with a deceitful heart. Then there's Jesus, the Savior, with a loving heart because he is love himself, isn't he? Turn, if you would please, over to Matthew. Well, you're already in Matthew chapter 26, but in verse 47. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47. It said, while he was still speaking of Jesus, because he was talking to disciples and he was telling them to watch and pray. But while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders. Now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he's the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" In that hour, Jesus said to the multitude, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled." And all the disciples forsook him and fled. Picture the scene. Jesus there in the garden, and they're praying. He goes out and he prays, and he told the disciples, he said, "You wait here and tarry here." Then James, Peter, and James, and John went a little farther with him, and he said, "You wait right here. I need to go pray to the Father." And Jesus begins to pray, and he comes back and finds them asleep. And wakes them and goes back and prays. He said, "Couldn't you just pray with me just for 1 hour?" But he said to them, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray," he said, "lest you enter into temptation, because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And as he is speaking to them, here comes Judas and a multitude of those who want to kill him and take Jesus alive. And Judas had told them, you know, they begin to question Judas, perhaps, how do we know that you're going to give us the right man when we get there? Because they may have known his reputation. They probably thought, since this man would betray Jesus, and being a deceiver, he might betray us when we get there. He may give us the wrong individual. But Judas said, "The one who I kiss, he will be the one." He will be the one. So we see then as Judas comes up, and Jesus said to him, "Friend, why do you come?" And so Judas then walked up to him and he said, "Rabbi, greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Wow. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Then all the disciples began to flee, it said. They began, well, actually, we saw what Peter done. We saw him take the ear off and then we see Jesus put it back on, but that's another sermon we'll do later. But the thing about it is, they begin to go in other directions, and Jesus was standing alone. Such a betrayal that night. And so I look at that. And you say, yes, but it was going to happen. It had to happen because he said the scripture needed to be fulfilled. Yes, it did need to happen. But still, all in all, Jesus, because he was God, and because he became man, he was God-man, he still had the pain of that betrayal that night. He knew it would happen. But the pain that was there, the pain of that kiss, that pain of that kiss of betrayal, he felt the pain of being betrayed. None of us like to be betrayed by our friends, do we? I guess that a lot of times when you're in life and you have some of the dearest people that are closest to you, they become your friends, and all of a sudden they turn on you, and man, that sure brings pain in our heart, doesn't it? And probably every one of us have faced that somewhere along the line. We've had a friend, and then something happened, and they betrayed us, and it left pain. There was pain. No doubt in the heart of Jesus that day, although he knew that this was going to happen, was going to come to pass, that's why he came, but yet there was still pain there. That human side of him felt the pain of that kiss because he felt, "I'm being betrayed." He felt pain from that kiss because he felt the pain of being misunderstood. He felt the pain of being misunderstood because throughout his ministry upon this earth, as he would go and proclaim the gospel of proclaim the word of God, we find that he was so misunderstood because a lot of times they would say, "This man speaketh blasphemy." Even his disciples at times misunderstood him. And this crowd that came to get him, they were in that group of people that misunderstood him, because they said, listen, he's coming to destroy the law. But Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. He says, that pain of being misunderstood. Have you ever felt the pain of being misunderstood by people that you care about? I think we all have, haven't we? But he felt that pain. The pain of being misunderstood. The pain of being misrepresented of who he was. Wow. He was called Beelzebub. He was called a devil himself by those who would not trust him and believe him. Matter of fact, even as we read a couple weeks ago when he's there in John chapter 14, when he said, listen, Lord, if you just show us the Father. And so he said, I and the Father are one. The pain of being misrepresented, because you see, God said, I'll give you my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And yet, people didn't believe that he was truly the Son of God. Why, he's just that carpenter Joseph's son over there. Mary, that's all he is. He's just an earthly person like us. He's nobody special. God said, scripture that we all should know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Misrepresented of who he was, didn't want to believe that he's truly the Son of God. Just an ordinary man. I'm glad that he came, aren't you? I'm glad that he came in the form of man, because you see, I could not go to where he was, but he came to me. Amen. And he came in the form of a man, but yet who suffered. I think that, and on the cross, and we're going to look at that next week, Lord's willing, that on the cross they ridiculed and mocked him. Well, if you're the Son of God, you say you are who you are, you know, if you are who you say you are, then come on down from the cross. I'm so glad he didn't come down. Although he's been misrepresented all this we know he was a pretty good teacher when he walked up on this earth. You find a lot of religions today said, yes, I believe there's Jesus because I believe he was just a good teacher, a good preacher. But that's all there is. But no, the pain of being misrepresented. He is truly the Son of God. Truly the Son of God. That pain, he felt the pain of being deserted. Where are the disciples now when trouble came? When they came to take him away and all the disciples began to leave, that pain of being deserted. Perhaps sometimes, you know, we look and we find that we've got friends and those who care for us, and when problems come and you have to take a stand for something and you look around, all of those that you thought stood with you have deserted you. Why, even Peter. Peter, impetuous Peter. Found himself warming at the devil's fire, if you will. And they said to him, and Jesus said to him once before, because Peter was very bold and said, listen, man, whatever happens to you, I'll be with you all the way. And Jesus looks and said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Well, not me, Lord. Nobody. Where's Peter? Where's Peter? Jesus felt the pain of being deserted because Peter's there at the fire and they said, hey, I believe you were with Jesus. No, not me. Not me. Why, he even went as far as cursing. No, three times. No, not me. And all of a sudden that cock crew. Oh, because Jesus told you to deny me three times before the cock crowed. No. Man, can you imagine the feeling that Peter had when that rooster crowed? And the mind, he remembered, oh, Jesus said I would deny him. Jesus felt the pain. He felt the pain of being deserted. Where are the disciples now? Jesus felt the pain in his betrayal. And as I said a moment ago, when I talk about Judas, that he was a man that was remorseful. Jesus felt all this pain. Up to this point, this thief, this devil, this greedy person by the name of Judas had felt no pain. Because you see, he said, I've got money. They're paying me to do this. I don't feel bad at all about it now. But something happened at that kiss. When he turned Jesus over to that mob that night. Jesus felt the pain of the betrayal. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. Get this. It didn't take long for Judas to, this devil, this thief, this greedy one, to have this remorse about him. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? You see to it. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and the value of him who was Christ, whom they of the children of Israel, Christ, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord directed me. Think about that. Here was a man who felt no pain at the beginning when he said, I'll deny Jesus. I'll turn away. I don't want him. I will give him to the people. But then, that kiss, he was remorseful because he says, look at what I've done. Look at what I have. That's innocent blood. So he takes it back to them and says, you know, I'm sorry for what I've done here. Here's your money back. You know, I think that he's probably trying to clear his conscience. If I don't take, you know, even though, again, this is what the scripture had to be fulfilled, but perhaps he was trying to clear his conscience and saying, if I just give him the money back, I won't feel near as bad as what I've done about betraying the Lord. I thought about that song Melissa sang, and I wanted to do that again here in a few moments, Gary, if you don't care. I think as I look at that, here was a man who felt great remorse in his betrayal. Because you know what? He knew then, it's too late. It's too late. Look at what I've done. I've rejected him. I've turned him away. I've betrayed him. It's too late. And you know what, folks? It's still the same today that when God has, you know, God has given us grace, and that's his son, Jesus Christ. And when we reject his grace, and when we look at what he said, all men are sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven thee, except the blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that means to finally reject him, it's too late. What took place with Judas. It's too late. He said, I'm just too miserable to live. I'm too miserable to live. And he goes out and hangs. That kiss of betrayal caused pain in the heart of Jesus. But it caused so much pain with Judas that he said, it's too late for me. I'm too miserable to live. I'll just take my life. I'll destroy myself. Sometimes people take their lives, not because they're miserable, sin and these things, but sometimes they're, you know, especially in the lives of Christian people. And I want you to know something when I talk about taking lives, taking your own life. No one should ever do that, but that happens. That happens sometimes. And in the lives of Christians, I think it's something that takes place. That, I mean, it should never happen, but there's something that takes place in the mind of that individual. You say, well, preacher, when somebody kills themselves, they're automatically going to hell. No, they're not. No, they're not. That's not the unpardonable sin, folks. They're not. If they're saved, they're going to heaven. I want you to know that. But in Judas's case, that was not the case. He didn't know Jesus as his Savior. He was in hell. Because the fact is, I'm too miserable. So I'm going to take my life. But he didn't know Jesus. So this morning I say this to you. You may be like Judas. You may know who Jesus is, and you may walk along with him, but you never know him. Remember last week I said to know the Father? If we know the Father, we've got to know who Jesus is. And that kiss of betrayal, that grace that's there, that song says that he knew his power. He walked beside him day and night. He saw the blind man brought from darkness, saw the dead man brought to life, but he somehow missed the mercy when he needed it most, and he stood before the hanging tree. Wonder why he didn't know that there was forgiveness. He said there was forgiveness, but he chose silver over streets of gold. But Jesus loved him and would have saved his troubled soul. And all he had to do was ask, and that's what Judas didn't know. So this morning I want you to know this. That he loves you, and he has given his son Jesus Christ for you. God had and calls him grace, if you will. He said, all you need to do is ask. Don't betray him. Don't turn him away. When you reject his gift of grace, what you're doing is you're betraying him, and he feels that pain of betrayal. He rejects him out. So many times I hear people say, but you know what? If Jesus loves me as much as he says he does, he'll never send my soul to hell. I want you to know something. Jesus never sends anyone to hell.
That's right.
We go because we reject him as our Lord and Savior. It's not your sin that sends you to hell. Because of sin, we're all going to die. This old body's going to lay down one day. But it is your rejection, your Jesus Christ, your betrayal of his grace, if you will. And it breaks his heart. That pain that was there because Judas betrayed him. This morning, don't cause pain to the heart of our Savior. If you don't know him this morning, you need to. You need to say, I want to accept your grace. And all you need to do is ask. Is ask. Father, we thank and praise you this morning for the privilege you've allowed me to stand here and proclaim your word. God, I ask that if I've said something on my own, let it fall at their feet, and please forgive me of that. But God, there may be someone here this morning that doesn't know you, someone that's betraying you. Oh, they may know all of you. They may know that they may have some good works about them, dear Heavenly Father, but yet they don't know you. They're betraying that grace. God, just speak to those hearts. Lord, there may be those this morning that are going through difficult times. God, speak to them. That this may be the moment that they would say, Lord, I've accepted your grace, and I know that I'm your child, and I know that you can help me. God, I want to thank you for this time of invitation this morning. Just bless as only you can in Jesus' name. My heads are bowed, please. Melissa's going to come and sing this song for us again. You have that need this morning. You come, even while she's singing, we'll pray with you. She'll just keep singing. And we'll pray. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you.
Saw the blind man
when he needed it the most, as he stood before that hanging tree. I wonder why he didn't know there was forgiveness, but he chose
today, just to something that we all should do, is rededicate her life to the Lord. She's a Christian, but she just wanted to rededicate her life to Him. I think that's something that, and she wants to do it publicly this morning. I think that's something from now on, every now and then we should probably all feel like we should do at times. You know, anything you want to say to these folks? No, okay, that's all right. That's okay. But a lot of you don't know Laura, but she only problem she has been living across the street from my brother. That's one of the biggest problems you've had so far.
Bless her.
Yeah, bless her. But we met her several years ago, and she comes to our, she's like family to us because she comes to our breakfast quite often and as family breakfast. And so we appreciate her and her two children. There, one's in nursery, one's in children. One's in children's church, and one's in nursery today. And so we praise the Lord for her. So she's going to be back to Dorothy and Ed and I. And just give her a hug. You know, that's what it's about, isn't it? Loving one another and caring one another. And introduce yourself to her because she'll remember every name when she walks when you walk out of here today. Just like we all did. You know, we remember every name when they come through, okay? So we just praise the Lord for you. You're going to take them back. Amen. I thank you so much for being here this morning. And we just pray that... Melissa, thank you for your song. Larry, thank you for your song today. And we just pray that you have a good day today. Just a few things that we need to look at as far as announcements go. The puppet ministry performs today at Oakmont Manor at 2 o'clock. So if you get the opportunity to go out there, please go out. And I think along the way they're getting new puppeteers as others are getting older and leaving. The new ones are coming on, aren't they? And so it's getting good. Yeah, it's been always been good, but just keeps getting good, 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 good. Also, I'll be preaching revival on April the 19th and 22nd at Workman First Missionary Baptist Church on Center Street. Please pray for us there if you get the opportunity to come and be with us. Vacation Bible School, July the 19th through the 24th. We have a sign-up sheet out there in the back and on I started saying a vegetable, but we don't have a vegetable over here, do we? Standing back in the back, please sign up and to help us with this summertime adventure. It's going to be a great time. We had some new folks who are working, some new folks who are helping get it all going. We appreciate your help and your work, and I know it's going to be a fantastic time. And it's called a Bible Blast to the Past, Discovering God's Everlasting Love. Okay, so keep that in mind, please. Also, on Saturday, April the 4th, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt at 1 o'clock at 100 Lawson Lane. If you don't know where that is, that's where Greg and Paula live. And so it's going to be up there at 1 o'clock. We have 8th division for the kids up to age 12. There's a sign-up sheet for that out in the table, also on the table also. And a donation box is near the glass doors when you exit the building for candy. And so please keep those things in mind. If you have any questions, you can see Kat Imel. She'll be glad to answer that for you. Also, next Saturday, which would be the 28th, at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a brief work party outside. About 10 o'clock, because we do need to clean up the parking lot from all this white sand that we had this past spring, this winter. And so we need a side yard cleaned up over there on the other side. And a lot of work, so bring your push brooms and bring a shovel or whatever. And help us. It won't take very long to do, I promise you that, but it's just all going to strictly be outside. So please, at 10 o'clock next Saturday, okay? Youth meeting tonight. Act teens tonight. KSC tonight. Mission Friends tonight. A lot of stuff going on tonight. Church tonight at 6 o'clock, so please come and be with us, all right?
And choir practice.
And choir practice tonight.
Yeah, after church.
After church. None before, but after. Okay, after church. Okay. Well, Jamie, come lead us, and we're going to pray. We're going to sing. We're going to pray first, then you can come. Yeah, then you can come and lead us. But let's all stand together, please. And we're going to ask Brother Kirk Bradley to dismiss us, and after that, we'll sing Family of God.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord, you're too thankful to be in your house this day, dear Lord, hearing your word proclaimed, dear Father. Thank you for the decisions made today, dear Lord, the rededication. Dear Lord, we all need to rededicate our lives to you, dear Father, every day of our being, dear Lord. Father, just watch over us now. Keep us safe in the hollow of your hand, dear Lord. Just make us bold and give us the words to speak to share the mystery of the gospel with some lost soul this week, dear Lord. And we pray that you'll be dealing with their hearts, dear Father, and they'll come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Father, watch over and keep us safe in the hollow of your hand. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.